love the word of God. Changes. Changes us. Amen. Word of God says about the word of God, it's truth and it sets us free. So I'm excited to hear Pastor Mona Luxton as she comes with a bright pink folder. Give her a hand.
Morning, church. How you doing? You good? It's not cold, is it? Everyone's warm. I really love my bright pink folder. Hey, how awesome was worship this morning? Let's give them all a big thank you. Such a presence of God in this place this morning, and just a real sense of his love and healing, and just how much he wants us to live and walk in freedom and healing. Amen. And we've been focusing a lot about walking in freedom, and hence we've been running the Lifestyle of Freedom course. Who got along to that? Yeah. It's been a great course, and we've seen a lot of amazing things happen in people's lives, and people just having revelation of who they are in God, and that, you know, we don't have to walk in bondage and slavery. Amen. And so this morning I just wanted to do a bit more of an extension on that and talk about freedom from fear. I don't know about you guys, but I know that I personally have experienced fear many a times in my life, and it can be quite crippling. And but we know that fear is a liar, amen. And and that things like fear and anxiety, both those things are very, very similar, different but similar. And we know that, and we hear often a lot about how much anxiety is just become such a huge part of our society. And it's crazy. And we're just riddled with it as a society. And you know what? It's not just out there, but it's also in the church. And sadly, the church is also affected. And many of us do live in a state of fear and anxiety, often can also leading to depression. Now, I know this is a heavy topic, but bear with me, because there's some good news. Amen. So as Christians, you know, we can wrestle with feelings like failure and inadequacy and condemnation. And it's kind of worse for us, because as Christians, we kind of think, oh, I shouldn't be living with this. I'm a Christian. You get what I'm saying? So it's kind of like this added sort of stress that we can feel sometimes, because it's like, you know, and so we experience, some of us might feel a sense of shame and think, oh gosh, what sort of a Christian am I? I'm living with fear and anxiety. And you know what? There's actually, it's such a common thing, and there's nothing wrong with experiencing those things. But we don't have to let them control our lives, amen. And God doesn't condemn us, so neither should we condemn ourselves when we do experience fear or anxiety or depression. And you know, it's really quite common that most people experience it at some point in their life. I won't ask for a show of hands, but some people have voluntarily put their hands up. But most of us do. And so as I said, while God does not condemn us, Romans 8:1 tells us that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're not to be condemned for having those feelings and those experiences. In fact, lots of people through Scripture experience times of anxiety and depression. King Dave was one of them. King David. But God's plans are so much bigger than that. Amen? And we know that there's an enemy that prowls around trying to see who he can devour. And so we've got to be aware of the weapons that we hold in our hands as Christians. Amen? So let's look at the word fear, and the meaning of the word is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. It can feel like terror, fright, fearfulness, horror, alarm, panic, agitation, trepidation, dread, dismay, and distress. How nasty is that? So we know that, well, let me just keep going on. So fear is actually specifically addressed in Scripture. Who knows that? Many times, in fact. The Bible tells us that God always has a plan. And those that truly believe that anything that happens in God's will shouldn't experience the same fear, especially when we're not in danger. So here he kind of clarifies the difference between fear and anxiety, and that is, there's a few different ideas around this, and that fear is something that we're scared of, whether it's real danger or perceived, or an anxiety is something that we more connect with worry, but can be much, much greater than worry. Any way you look at it, it's slavery. Who knows that we can become slaves to fear? I think there's actually a song written about that. And when we become slaves to fear, it actually rules our life. And it controls us and determines what we do from day to day, how we think, how we speak, our emotions and our behaviours. But Jesus came to set us free from slavery and bondage, and that includes fear. Amen? John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it in the full." So it's important that we're aware that fear is something that is not of God. Fear is something that enslaves us, and that it's the enemy that comes to steal, to kill and destroy. So he's stealing from us our sense of peace and joy in God. Amen? While fear is a natural human emotion, it does warn us that there's threat of danger. And it's an instinct for us to protect ourselves. So not all fear is bad, but it's when it kind of gets out of perspective and is experienced when there's actual no fear present, that's when we can feel tormented and robbed of God's peace and joy. So often we can fear something that may or may not happen. And this is where anxiety is closely linked. But that's why fear not, or the word fear, is mentioned so many times in the Bible. Who knows how many times it's in there? Chris? Well, I've heard it's in there 365 times. Once for every day. How's that? So do you think God kind of knew that we were potentially going to have a bit of an issue with this? He knew, and you know, he made sure that he repeatedly tells us through his word to not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit... Oh, there it is. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful. That's me in brackets. But gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you, says the Lord. And 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So we know that, as I said, fear is closely associated with anxiety. Do you know that over 2 million people in Australia experience anxiety each year? On average, one in every three women and one in every five men. That's a lot of people experiencing anxiety or fear. There are different levels of it, of course, and anxiety can be, you know, quite crippling. It can actually affect our ability to function every day. How are we going? I just want to clarify that today my focus is on general fear and anxiety. But there are different levels of it, and some people experience it in more in depth. And if you're here and you do really struggle with it, I would encourage you to go and speak to a therapist, a Christian therapist, because we know that God... you know, he provides us through many means, and he cares for us through many means, and Christian counselling is one of them. And the reason I say Christian is because if you're a Christian, you want someone with a Christian perspective. Amen? But just for today, I'm just focusing on general, because there are so many different causes of fear and anxiety, so many, and some of them are a lot more deeper than others. As a Christian counsellor, I see many clients who struggle with fear and anxiety. And a lot of it can be due to feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation. Or constant worry of just not knowing the future, not knowing what people think of us, or not fear of not having enough money. Failure or rejection, feeling like they are not worthy and don't deserve to have anything good in life, and so on. These thoughts and emotions most times lead to depression. Anxiety and depression go close together. They go hand in hand. How are we going? I just want to have I've got a diagram. I just want to show you just quickly the link between anxiety and depression. It's a little bit blurry. Can everyone see it okay? So this is what we're looking at, folks. You can see that depression and anxiety, whilst they have their own symptoms, they do cross over. And where they cross over is where you see restlessness, trouble thinking, concentrating or making decisions, excessive worrying, unexplained physical complaints such as headaches or stomach aches and agitation. That's just the beginning of the combination of fear and anxiety. Depression on its own causes frustration, sadness, worthlessness, irritability, loss of interest in normal activities, thoughts of suicide or death, tiredness, disturbance in sleep or appetite, and anxiety causes trembling, increased breathing rate, feeling nervous or powerless, having a sense of impending danger or panic, high heart rate and sweating. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that does not sound like the abundant life Jesus came for us to live. Amen? And this is where the enemy loves to jump on this stuff. And he just adds to our torment, and he adds to our anxiousness, and he adds to our fear, and he says to us, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Or he might just say, hey, you're never going to get out of this. You may as well just stay in your state that you're in, because you're never going to get out of this. It's a vicious cycle, and it can be a vicious cycle. Past sin or mistakes, troubled relationships, abuse, lack of self-esteem or self-worth, or simply life events not turning out as expected. These are issues that can cause you to feel as though you're losing control of your present and of your future. But the Bible reminds us that we are not actually in control. Amen? So often, fear and anxiety is worry about things we can't control. Things that may or may not happen that are out of our control. The thing is, as Christians, we're not. We're not meant to be in control. God is the one that's in control of our lives. Amen? So while you have free will to choose what you please, God is the one that makes the ultimate choice. And whatever you experience is part of God's plan for you. In other words, when we allow Him to take control, when we trust in Him, whatever happens in our life, He's in control. Amen? And knowing that He's in control and that we can trust Him with our lives is what takes all of that worry and all of that fear and places it at the foot of the cross and leaves it with Him. As it says in Psalm 52:22, the Bible tells us to cast our burden upon Him, upon the Lord, and He will sustain us, and He will never allow us to be shaken. Isn't that good news? God is a God of endless grace and abundant mercy. Time and time again, all through Scripture, God demonstrates His grace and His mercy toward us. Hebrews 4:16, for example. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, we can be gripped by fear or we can be gripped by the truth of God that tells us that His grace and His mercy is there for us in our time of need. So we got to choose. The more we focus on our fear and the more we focus on our anxiety, the less we're focusing on God. And that's where it can become a cycle. It's that cycle in our thinking, in our believing, in our behavior. Ultimately, it affects our behavior. And so we get so caught up and we go round and round the merry-go-round of fear, anxiety, negative thinking, negative emotion, negative behavior, and so on and so on. And It's only when we allow the grace of God to inject into that cycle, to stop that cycle, to allow His word to pierce through that dark cycle that can just be so endless and so tormenting. And without that, we continue to struggle with fear, shame, worry, condemnation, and grappling with past mistakes, failures, trying to earn God's approval by striving. So sometimes we can be determined and think, okay, I've got to stop this, I've got to fix myself. But the Word of God says, no, you can't actually, we can't. But God can. And the power of His Word can. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So who are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to the lying fear, or are we going to listen to the Word of God and believe what He says? Someone once told me or gave me this illustration of fear, and it really helped me. And they said fear is like the tiniest demons. They're little tiny, tiny demons, about that big. And they come and sit on your shoulder and whisper things in your ear. But all we need to do is just flick them away. That's how tiny they are. They may seem big in our mind, but they're actually really tiny compared to the power of God and to the Word of God. So we just flick them away. And God's given us all authority by the power of His name. Amen? So the more we live in line with God's Word and put our trust in Him, and the more our heart, the more we give our hearts to Him, the less power anxiety will have over us. Anxiety is about worries, concerns, fears, and the feeling as though you are unsure how to cope with the world around you. While belief in God brings freedom through trust and faith in Him, immersing ourselves in God's love and dedicating ourselves to Him leads to peace and the abundant life. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests or make your requests known to God. So I know that these are scriptures that we hear a lot. Who hears these scriptures a lot? Most of us here probably know them off by heart. And we can recite them. But it's not until we understand the power that they have that they actually can affect our lives. It's not until we understand that these words are the power of God in our lives, that have the power to overcome fear, anxiety, or anything else that we're dealing with. Grace and mercy is the foundation of God's covenant. Mercy and hesed, is that how you say it? Does anyone know that word, Chris? I looked at Chris because he's a great man of God. And he knows scripture really well and all that. He's a study of the word. Hesed is a Hebrew word often translated as God's loving kindness. Phone's ringing. Though the true translation is difficult to translate as it has like a cluster of meanings. It means a few things. And like words like love, mercy, grace and kindness. God's covenant love is integrally related. So all of those characteristics of God, grace, mercy, love, kindness. In this relationship, grace and mercy then comes to be the quality in God that directs him to forge a relationship with people who absolutely do not deserve to be in relationship with him. Grace and mercy are the foundation of the work of God on behalf of his people to free them from slavery. So the devil might say to us, well, you know, you did this and that, and no wonder you're worried about your future, you've stuffed up, you've made mistakes. And you know what? That's true. Who hasn't stuffed up and made mistakes? I know I have. And I've had the devil in my ear saying those things to me. You know, before I got saved, he actually spoke to me. I had a conversation with the devil. And I agreed with him. He said to me, "You've stuffed up big time. You've made so many mistakes. Now you've made your bed, you've got to lie in it." And I said, yeah, that's right. I know. He said, so don't expect anything good to happen in your life. Don't expect to succeed in any way. Just be prepared for a sucky life because you don't deserve any better. And I agreed with him and I said, okay. And I took that on board and I believed that my future was just bleak and dark and not to expect too much. What a load of rubbish. That is so much rubbish, guys. You know, I loved Maddie's communion message. Jesus washes us white as snow. He completely cleanses us from all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our past mistakes and the things that we can't change. The devil wants to torment us with, but God wants to cleanse us from it and completely remove that from our life. Do we forget that we did it? Does it not? You know, it still exists, but it has no power in our life. But the devil tries to make us think that it does. You know, as Christians, we don't get much of an opportunity to kick people to the curb, slap anyone around, tell them off, yell at them. You know what I mean? I'm not violent or anything. I'm actually against violence. But you know, there's one person that we can kick around. There's one person that we can put in their place that God has given us the authority to. In fact, he's actually said to us, do it. And when we become Christians, we are seated in heavenly places with God. He washes us white as snow. He gives us authority through the power of his word and the power of the cross. And so whenever the enemy comes, it's like, who are you? Get out of my face. You know, you can't mess with me. You can't mess with the people of God. Amen. And that's the attitude we need to have toward fear, anxiety, and depression. Because it has no place in our life. And the more we focus on the Word of God and meditate on Him and, you know, guys, worship. Get in His presence. Praise. Praise. The Word says the garment of praise lifts off the spirit of heaviness. And that is when we step into truth, we step into the light, we step out of darkness and into the light. Fear, anxiety and depression are places of darkness. They are places of darkness. But when we step into the light, when we bring it all with us, you can bring it all with you. You don't have to hang on, let me just get rid of this first and then I can get into the presence of God. No. That's not how it works. You don't have to get rid of it. Because if you try and get rid of it, you'll be going around in circles, like we talked before about that cycle. Bring it with you, guys. Step into the presence of God. Take it with you into the light. Because we know that the light pierces the darkness. Amen. Isaiah 61:3 says, "And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." How awesome is that? We are oaks of righteousness, the Word of God says, for the display of God's splendor. That's pretty cool, guys. Galatians 4:6, "Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." When we call out, Abba, Father, what are we doing? We're acknowledging the Spirit of God within us, who has the power to overcome. That's what the Word of God tells us. So grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, in the midst of suffering, and in the midst of brokenness. We live in a world of earning, deserving, and merit. Which result in judgment. Some of us are anxious about whether we're good enough, whether we make the grade. Whether we're doing enough, and so on. But only grace can bring life and freedom from fear, anxiety, and depression. Sorry, I just need water. Okay, I'm going to have a coughing fit any minute. Why don't you stand with me, church? Almost got through. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. We do not need to fear for our future. We do not need to be anxious. For he knows the plans he has for us. Let us be aware that the enemy comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy any experience of joy and peace in your life. He wants to try and keep you from walking in the destiny that God has for you. But God knows the plans that he has. Amen. I'm just going to ask everyone just to close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, that it is your desire that we walk in freedom. Freedom from fear and anxiety and depression. That you see us as holy, that you see us as righteous. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just want to give an opportunity, if there's anyone here who doesn't have a relationship with God, who's never known or experienced what it is to walk with him, just want to give you an opportunity to respond to him this morning. If you're here and you've never given your heart to God, I want to encourage you this morning that this is the time, this is the moment. God has a plan for your life. He has predestined and pre-purposed your existence. You're not here by chance. You're not here by some sort of fluke chance. But you're here for a time such as this, and God has positioned you, and you are here today in this house for a reason. And I just believe that God's just inviting you this morning to walk with him, to give your heart to him and allow him to be God over your life and over your circumstances and every part of who you are and what you do. You're here this morning and you don't know him, or you want to make a rededication to him if you've walked with him before but you've been away, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just very quickly and respond to God's invitation this morning. It's not about embarrassing you, but it's about making the most important decision you can ever make in your life. If you're here and you are that person, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, church, I'm just going to ask you to pray with me. Just join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you love me so much that you died on the cross that I might live, that I might live for eternity. And today, I choose to walk with you. I choose to give my heart to you. I want to follow you. I want a relationship with you. I acknowledge my sin, and today I choose to repent. Come into my heart, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Anyone pray that prayer for the first time, please raise your hand. Awesome. Now, church, I just really feel a sense of the presence of God, and I really feel that the Holy Spirit just wants to say to some people here this morning. You don't have to walk in shame, and that you're not alone if you experience any of these things we talked about this morning. I'm going to be here after the service if anyone would like to come and talk to me or have some or would like prayer. Please come and see me afterward. I just really believe that this word has been really key for some people here. So I encourage you to respond to God this morning. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Come on, let's give Mona a hand. Beautiful. What a powerful message. You know, every one of us in this room deals with some aspect of fear. True? Fear of man, fear of failure, and it can be crippling. And I encourage you, get a hold of that. We'll have that on the podcast. Go through it. We're going to see the grace of God work in our lives. We can conquer it. You may be seated just for a moment. I'm going to share around our giving this morning. Who likes to give? Oh, yeah. Let me try it again. Who likes to give? Fantastic. Luke 21, verse 1 to 6. It's called the Widow's Offering. It says, as Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she put out of her poverty. She put in all she had to live on. I had a great statement this week. You always hear good. We've been at Hillsong Conference for a bit. And I heard a great statement. It rings true. When it comes to finances and God doesn't actually count money. He doesn't count your money. You do. We all do, don't we? Don't we count our money? Well, you just look at your bank account these days. Back in the old days, you probably had to go out under the bed where it was all stashed, get it out and go through it all your copper coins. But the reality is, God doesn't count money. I heard this great statement. All he does is he weighs hearts. Come on. See, when you understand giving from God's perspective, when you understand it, and we learned this through our lifestyle of freedom. I hope you tell me the next one starting. But we learned that one of the greatest powers behind giving that God releases, the reason for it, the reason it exists, the reason that tithing and giving, everything exists, is because it's about your heart. And see, what Jesus was looking at, sure, you had a widow wanted up, and she put in 2 copper coins, and then the rich were throwing in money, you know, looking, whoa, look at that, lots of cash. Well, on these days, I don't know, credit card. And Jesus saw it all, and he weighed that heart. That little widow gave everything. Are you hearing me? Gave absolutely. That was her heart, her heart. And that's why when it comes to giving, like when it comes to tithing, giving to God, honoring him, it what we're trying to build here, and the reason I stand here, and the reason I want my kids to learn this, the reason that our household exists, is that we want to create hearts that are owned by God. And I can tell you, if you struggle in the area of finance giving to God, then there's a huge part of your heart that God does not own. Come on. Think of how many hours, how much intent, how much focus, how much purpose you put into finance. Talked to one of the great guys who is in this, was Mel's son, somewhere in the back there. He works 50 hours a week as a chef. That's a lot of time, right? 50 hours a week, shift work. And if God doesn't own the product of that, then there's 50 hours of your world, your heart, that he's kept out of. And just like Myrna talked about fear and anxiety, there's a lot of fear and anxiety around finance and poverty. Amen? And you need God to come in by faith. And one of the greatest ways to open up your heart to the area of finance and bring faith into it is actually honor God. Put God first and see what he does. In Malachi 3, I won't go through that, but God says to you, test me. Test me. Amen? So when it comes to our giving, you know, this is just an opportunity just for our heart to be challenged and tested, and our heart to be open to God right now. So we're going to hand out the buckets, containers, buckets, whatever you want to call them, small flower pots. Let me pray before we do. God, we just thank you. God, I thank you for every heart in this house, every heart represented here, every single heart. God, you want to own every heart in this place. You want every heart to know you and to know what your abundance is, to know what you can do in every area of their lives, including their finances. And by faith, God, we speak miracles in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now you can pass the containers. We don't move while we're praying. Anyway. Beautiful. Well, we've got one big announcement. One big announcement. This is the first time, and I'm going to get us to, we're going to sing a song before we leave this place. We're going to praise God. Amen. But before we do, we've got a kids club, which we're the first time we've actually ever done this as a church. And we've gone into the local schools and primary schools, and I think we're just under 70 kids, community kids, coming. And next Sunday, we're going to have a full takeover kids service. And some of those kids, we're going to believe for them and their families to be here. Amen? Which is powerful. And so number one, there's a little flyer. If you haven't registered your kids, you're crazy. It's holidays. It's the second week. You don't know what you're going to do with them anyway. They've seen all the movies. They've driven you crazy. It's time for you to put them into our kids program and for them to get absolutely blessed. And you can have a few days to yourself, mums. And it's time for you to actually get that flyer and talk to your friends and bring your friends' kids. Amen? You can register right up to, I think, to Tuesday. So make sure you do that. You can go online. It's on our website. There's a full online registration. Works brilliantly. So we're going to do that. So there it is there. There's all the details. There's a flyer there. But we understand our faith. Can we pray for this? Come on, why don't we pray for the